Good morning and welcome to your environment briefing for Saturday, August 15th, 2026. I'm glad you're with us. There's a lot moving in the world of wildlife, water, and wildfire today, so let's get into it. We start with sobering news out of Australia, where officials have confirmed the country's first case of H5 bird flu in a little penguin. The bird was found dead on Phillip Island in Victoria, home to the largest colony of little penguins on Earth. Roughly 40,000 of them. The timing couldn't be worse. Just days ago, the Victorian government announced plans to vaccinate up to 5,000 of these penguins, with shots set to begin August 18th. But the vaccine requires two doses spaced weeks apart, which means there's a real window of vulnerability. Conservationists are understandably anxious that the virus could spread through the colony faster than immunity can build. We'll be watching closely to see whether containment measures can hold the line. Switching gears to forests, there's some encouraging science coming out of California. A new study from Cal Poly Humboldt, done in partnership with Save the Redwoods League, finds that second-growth redwood forests, the ones that grew back after historic logging, are actually holding up well against modern wildfires, especially where active management practices are in place. That's a hopeful data point in an otherwise complicated fire picture. Because at the same time, researchers are flagging what they call a persistent fire deficit across North American forests, meaning decades of suppression have left a backlog of fuel, even as we're simultaneously seeing rapid increases in area burned each year. It's a paradox that's creating real headaches for land managers. Related research is digging into how these fires ripple outward, affecting freshwater ecosystems in ways scientists still don't fully understand, and altering soil microbial communities for years afterward. Meanwhile, over at UC Merced, a new NSF-funded project is using modeling to predict fire behavior and evaluate whether fuel treatments are actually working the way we hope. On the waterfront, a major legal fight is brewing over the Colorado River. Environmental groups have sued to block Denver Water's plan to nearly triple the capacity of Gross Reservoir, arguing there simply isn't any water left in the river to allocate, let alone for expansion. The Army Corps of Engineers contends it doesn't need to factor climate change into its approval process, a stance the plaintiffs are directly challenging in the Tenth Circuit. This case could set a major precedent for how climate risk gets weighed in Western water infrastructure decisions going forward. In energy news, NextEra, the world's largest publicly traded electricity company, has quietly scrubbed renewable energy branding from its filings and websites, now favoring language like American energy dominance, a sign of the industry's broader retreat from green messaging under the current political climate. And finally, farmworker advocates in California are accusing state pesticide regulators of being captured by industry interests, while the Interior Department has announced a sweeping expansion of hunting and fishing access across 95% of National Wildlife Refuge land. Meanwhile, indigenous leaders in Brazil are urging the UN to make sure the global energy transition doesn't repeat colonial patterns of extraction. That's your briefing for today. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.